So the last talk in the session will focus on opportunities and challenges for prevention of pneumococcal disease among adults. So first I would like to remind you of what the current recommendations for pneumococcal polysaccharide vaccine use among adults are. Then we'll briefly review epidemiology of pneumococcal disease among adults in the U.S., and then discuss considerations for conjugate vaccine use among adults. So 23-valent pneumococcal polysaccharide vaccine has been licensed and available in the U.S. since 1983 and contains capsular polysaccharides of 23 out of the 92 currently described pneumococcal serotypes. And these 23 serotypes, they account for more than 80% of invasive pneumococcal infections in any age group. So as Ruth mentioned briefly, the vaccine is recommended currently for all adults 65 years of age or older, for persons 2 to 64 years of age with a whole list of chronic and immunocompromising underlying conditions, and also for persons 2 to 64 years old that live in high-risk settings such as long-term care facilities. Recently, two new groups have been introduced as high-risk groups for which the vaccine is indicated. These are persons 19 to 64 years of age who smoke cigarettes and also those with asthma. And this recent update to recommendations was published in 2010. Routine revaccination with a 23-valent vaccine is not recommended. However, if a vaccine is given before the age of 65 for one of these high-risk conditions that are indications for the 23-valent vaccine, then revaccination is recommended at the age of 65 or later if more than 5 years have elapsed since the initial dose. But the routine re-immunization with the 23-valent vaccine is not recommended. So studies have shown that 23-valent vaccine, polysaccharide vaccine, is effective in preventing invasive pneumococcal disease. And the effectiveness estimates have ranged in studies from 56% to 81%. However, there are several limitations to this vaccine. There's limited or no effectiveness against non-bacteremic pneumonia. Also, the vaccine does not provide effectiveness for mucosal infections, and therefore it does not reduce carriage and interrupt transmission. Therefore, the herd effect or indirect effect of the vaccine are not expected and have not been observed. In addition, capsular polysaccharide, pneumococcal capsular polysaccharide, is a T-cell independent antigen, and therefore it does not induce immunologic memory and does not give a boostable immune response. There is evidence of waning immunity after receipt of the 23-valent vaccine, and therefore it provides limited duration of efficacy against invasive disease, and effectiveness is further limited in immunocompromised individuals. In addition, there are studies that show that revaccination with a 23-valent vaccine, especially when the second dose is given within 5 years of the initial dose, results in a lower functional immune response compared to the response that is observed following the initial dose, and so-called hyperresponsiveness. So let's review the current epidemiology briefly of pneumococcal disease among the adults. Ruth has pointed out the timeline for these different vaccine introductions. And following the 7-valent vaccine introduction in late 2000, we have observed these dramatic reductions in the incidence of invasive pneumococcal disease in children, but additional benefits of this vaccine introduction have been this so-called herd effects, or indirect protection of adults through reduced transmission of pneumococci from vaccinated children to adults. So we observed anywhere from 15 to 44% reduction in overall invasive disease among adults of different age groups. And how do we know that these effects have been due to the pediatric vaccine use rather than the 23-valent vaccine use? So as an example, I'm showing here the graph with serotype-specific changes in the incidence of pneumococcal disease for adults 65 or older. And with the white line, you can see the reductions with invasive disease that is caused by 7 serotypes included in a pediatric vaccine. So we have virtually eliminated these serotypes even in adult age groups through indirect effects. Whereas if we look at the disease caused by other serotypes, non-vaccine serotypes, including serotypes that are part of the 23-valent polysaccharide vaccine composition, these serotypes have actually increased, and this increasing incidence in the serotypes washed out somewhat beneficial effects of the vaccine or these herd effects that we have seen. In addition, introduction of the 7-valent vaccine has changed the age distribution of invasive pneumococcal disease in the U.S. So we have reduced by more than 80% invasive disease in children in the vaccine target age group. And even though the reductions in the invasive disease have been seen also among adults, you can see that the burden of disease remains still high in adults, especially among the elderly, those 65 years of age or older. So here I'm presenting on this graph the incidence of invasive disease in adults with selected underlying conditions compared to healthy adults. So the way we can group this, I guess we can put it like a three groups, where we look at healthy adults separately, then we have the next four bars are for adults with chronic comorbid conditions, and the last three bars are more serious immunocompromising conditions. And you can see that there is a 4- to 9-fold increase in incidence among adults with chronic comorbid conditions and 30- to 40-fold increase in incidence among those with immunocompromising conditions. So given this remaining high burden in adults, especially among the elderly and those with comorbid conditions, this raises questions about the remaining opportunities for prevention of pneumococcal disease in adults, and what is the role of pneumococcal conjugate vaccines in preventing disease in adults. As you probably know, in February of this, actually it's February of last year, the 13-valent formulation of the vaccine was licensed for children, so 13-valent formulation has been used in pediatric populations for over a year. So the same formulation is expected to be licensed for adults by the end of the year. So the manufacturer applied for approval, for accelerated approval in December of last year, and the expected licensure is October of this year. The vaccine is indicated for adults 50 years of age or older and for the prevention of pneumococcal disease, including pneumonia. Licensure of the vaccine will be based on demonstration of non-inferiority of opsonophagocytic assay, which measures the functional antibody response to 13-valent vaccine as compared to the 23-valent vaccine. So there will be no clinical trial done prior to the licensure, and licensure will only be based on immunogenicity studies, with the understanding that there will be a confirmatory trial with pneumonia as a primary endpoint, which will be submitted as a post-approval supplement. So there are several key factors that we need to consider as we think about the utility of the conjugate vaccines for adults. First of all, is this vaccine immunogenic in adults, and does it provide the immune response that is non-inferior to the currently recommended 23-valent vaccine? Does it give a boostable immune response, and therefore, if it does provide immunologic memory, are we able to increase the window of protection through revaccination? Does it provide efficacy against a non-bacteremic pneumonia? And we know that the current recommended vaccine is not very effective in preventing non-bacteremic pneumonia. What is the efficacy in immunocompromised and these high-risk individuals? We know that the 13-valent vaccine provides lower serotype coverage compared to the 23-valent vaccine. So the question is, does it provide an adequate serotype coverage in these populations? And in addition to that, there is a concern that what we have seen with after 7-valent vaccine introduction, we've seen this dramatic change in the serotype distribution. So is there going to be a utility for a 13-valent vaccine in adults, given that we are already using the pediatric vaccine? In other words, are we going to see similar herd effects that what we saw after the 7-valent vaccine introduction? Cost of the vaccine, cost effectiveness of the vaccine is another question. As you know, conjugate vaccine costs more, way more than the polysaccharide vaccine. And there are several cost effectiveness analyses that are ongoing that evaluate different vaccination strategies in order to identify what are the optimal and most cost effective vaccination strategies in adults using currently available vaccines. So let's go through these key factors, one by one. So the table here presents head-to-head comparisons of the conjugate vaccine and polysaccharide vaccine. These are immunogenicity studies in adults looking at the immune response following a single dose. So these studies differ in their populations that were included by age group, by presence of comorbid conditions, and also by prior pneumococcal vaccination history, but also by the timing at which the serology was evaluated. However, most of these recent studies show that the conjugate vaccine gave similar to the polysaccharide vaccine immune response, or even superior response for some of the studies against serotypes that are common between the two vaccine formulations. So these are published immunogenicity studies. In addition, in February 2011, a manufacturer presented the results of the new immunogenicity studies of the 13-valent vaccine compared to the 23-valent vaccine in adults 50 years of age or older, and their results show that at least short-term, it does provide a good immunogenic response, and it is non-inferior or even superior for some of the serotypes as compared to the 23-valent vaccine. So this is immunogenicity post single dose, but this on this slide we're looking at the studies. It's one of the studies that look at the sequential vaccination with a 23-valent vaccine and also with a conjugate, a 7-valent conjugate vaccine. So there are several studies that looked at this sequential vaccination in order to evaluate whether there is a hyper-responsiveness in response to sequential vaccination with a 23-valent vaccine, as it has been shown in studies. So you can see with a dotted or dashed line, rather, at the bottom, where for subjects when the polysaccharide vaccine was given first, and then a year later the conjugate vaccine was given, they observed almost threefold reduction in antibody response by both ELISA and by OPA, which measures the functional antibody response. However, when the conjugate vaccine is given first and followed by either polysaccharide or conjugate vaccine at a year after the initial vaccination, this hyper-responsiveness is not observed. So there are other studies that have shown similar results, and what does it tell us? That given the conjugate vaccine first does not give us that hyper-responsiveness. In other words, we are able to give the vaccine conjugate vaccine first and then followed by either conjugate or polysaccharide vaccine, we don't observe hyper-responsiveness, and this would extend the window of protection with the use of conjugate vaccines in adults. There are no clinical trials looking at the efficacy against clinical endpoints, and mostly against pneumonia in adults, but studies in children show that conjugate vaccines are efficacious in preventing non-invasive pneumonia. In adults, we have very limited data, but there is a large trial that is currently ongoing in Netherlands. It's a placebo-controlled randomized trial of more than 85,000 community-dwelling adults, 65 years of age or older, and the primary objective of this trial would be to assess efficacy against the first episode of vaccine serotype community-acquired pneumonia. And there's a whole host of secondary objectives of looking at efficacy against non-bacteremic pneumonia and all pneumococcal pneumonia and death and safety profile. So the results of this trial are expected in 2012, and they will provide us with the crucial information that is needed, whether conjugate vaccines are efficacious against non-invasive pneumonia, which accounts for a large burden of disease, especially in elderly adults. There's also limited data on efficacy of conjugate vaccines in immunocompromised individuals. There are no comparisons studies that compare directly the conjugate vaccine to the 23-valent vaccine, but there are two placebo-controlled trials that were done in Africa 10 years apart, and one of them is looked at the efficacy of the 7-valent conjugate vaccine in preventing vaccine serotype invasive disease and all-cause pneumonia, and the second trial, which was done 10 years before, also a placebo-controlled trial, I looked at the efficacy of the 23-valent conjugate vaccine. So the first one was the conjugate trial was in Malawi, and the latter one was done in Uganda. And so you can see the comparison of the results. So the conjugate vaccine in the conjugate vaccine arm, they saw a 74% reduction in vaccine serotype invasive disease, whereas in a study with a polysaccharide vaccine, there was no protection against vaccine serotype invasive disease was observed. And a similar comparison is made for all-cause pneumonia, where for conjugate vaccine, studied with a conjugate vaccine, a 25% reduction, although not statistically significant, was observed in all-cause pneumonia. And there was almost negative effectiveness in a study with a 23-valent polysaccharide vaccine. So these results look promising for conjugate vaccines in preventing preventing pneumonia and vaccine serotype invasive disease in immunocompromised individuals. Another key factor to consider is a serotype distribution that is provided by different vaccine formulations. So the slide here presents the serotype coverage by vaccine formulation by age group for adults and by presence of comorbid conditions, which are current indications for vaccination. And as you can see with the blue portion of the bar, the 13-valent vaccine provides a limited coverage of invasive disease, especially in adults with comorbid conditions. Additional serotypes that are included in a 23-valent vaccine provides anywhere from 20 to 25% additional coverage of disease, of invasive disease, and this doesn't seem to differ much between the age and a comorbid group. And you can see that those other serotypes in white, the white portion of the bars, they account for a much larger proportion of disease in individuals with comorbid conditions. And these are not included in any of the currently recommended vaccine formulations. And another thing to consider with the serotype distribution, as I mentioned earlier, we have seen these large herd effects of the PCV7 use in this country and changes in a serotype distribution. So are we going to see a similar magnitude of herd effects after the 13-valent vaccine use in children? And are we going to see the similar serotype changes in a serotype distribution? And in that case, will the utility of the 13-valent vaccine in adults be limited because of that? I guess we don't have the answer for this question, but we can hypothesize based on what we know about these additional serotypes that are included in a 13-valent vaccine. So we know that the carriage and transmission for some of these serotypes is similar to the serotypes that are included in a 7-valent vaccine formulation. For example, serotypes 19A, 7F, and 6A are also commonly carried. So we could expect the reduction in carriage and indirect effects through pediatric PCV13 use. Serotype 1 is rarely carried, so it's unclear whether vaccinating children will reduce type 1 disease in adults. And also immunogenicity data shows that we might expect a little bit different efficacy of PCV13, and it may not be similar to 7-valent vaccine for some of the serotypes, for example, serotype 1 and 3. So just to summarize, I guess, is there a role for 13-valent vaccine use among adults? And there are definitely pros that we have a large potentially preventable burden in adult disease. Observations of mucosal immunity in children suggest that there is opportunity for prevention of non-invasive pneumococcal pneumonia among adults. There is limited acceptability of the current vaccine, and there is no evidence, at least we haven't been able to demonstrate, at the population level prevention with the PPV23 with a 23-valent polysaccharide vaccine. But then there are cons. Increasing vaccine coverage among the adult population has been difficult historically. And as I mentioned earlier, potential herd effects of the 13-valent use among children may limit the utility of the 13-valent vaccine use among adults. So what are the next steps? The efficacy trial against pneumonia, which I mentioned, which is ongoing in Netherlands, will provide us with the crucial information on whether the 13-valent vaccine is efficacious against preventing non-invasive pneumonia, and if it's shown to be, if the efficacy is shown, then conjugate vaccines have an important role in preventing disease among adults. We will be monitoring the impact of the pediatric PCV13 program in order to get information on what the herd effects are going to look like and how will the serotype distribution change with a 13-valent vaccine use. Currently, Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices is in the process of reviewing available data on disease burden, immunogenicity, and cost effectiveness. So revisions to recommendations will be considered as this additional data become available. So I'd like to thank all my colleagues at ABC sites and also all my CDC colleagues, and thank you for your attention.